Listen, I want to share a few things before I get into the bulk of the message of what I'm talking about today. I'm going to be talking about and kind of continuing into the vein that we've been speaking on, but I'm going to talk about being trained in trials and times of refreshing. Trained in trials and times of refreshing. But before I do, again, there's still so much unfolding and happening and testimonies I'm hearing from the Body United, which was an epic three-day summit. We had over 1,200 people come from all over the world, really. It was meant to be just an initial invitation to the Church of New England, but it turned out to people from all over the nation and even nations of the earth, from Germany, South Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Canada. Amazing. And over 120 different churches and ministries represented. And Netherlands. Do you hear that? 120 different churches and ministries, and like 1,200 people from different cultures. And it's really just the beginning. Like I said, there's so many amazing things happening everywhere. You know, that same weekend, the Warrior Conference was happening up in Waterville Valley, which had another 84 churches represented. I think 900 men were there. I mean, so there's at the same corresponding time, there's many powerful kingdom gatherings happening. And that should, number one, encourage us. God is on the move. God is doing amazing things. May we know it. Amen. But in terms of the testimonies coming in, sometimes people have a hard time perceiving the value of such gatherings. They say, well, man, that huge initiative, event, and energy, what was it all for? And the truth is, sometimes the value and the fruit of such things, you can see sometimes immediate things, but there's other dynamics where spiritual happenings don't always have immediate, measurable outcomes when they're internal realities that are put in motion in the hearts of people, or when things are awakened, or when there's impartation. There's times where it takes time to see, but I just want to say a couple things here. At the Body United, just in a nutshell, you know, people were powerfully encountered by the presence and power of God. People received spiritual impartation at the gathering. People received new tongues from the Lord. Right, Lisa? Where are you? People receive supernatural impartation that unlocked spiritual gifts, capacities, abilities in their life. People were built up in their faith and in love. And what better than that than the church being strengthened and built up? Amen. It's part of the purpose, right? That this church, the building of God, is empowered. There was a New England Revival Prayer Covenant that was launched at the Body United and is being implemented in churches and networks all over New England right now. As we speak, fresh rhythms and commitments to prayer for God's plan and purpose is happening. Leaders were strengthened and encouraged, and new initiatives literally have been started and born as a result of what happened there. This Vermont leader, for one example, went back and texted me. He was quickened to rise up to do something about the drug dealers in his area, and this is what he wrote me quickly. He says, hey, I wanted to tell you, coming out of the Body United, that the Holy Spirit convicted me that the men in this area are doing next to nothing to stand in the gap, especially when it comes to drug dealing in this area. He's given me instructions to seek out drug houses and evangelize specifically to them, and to put groups of people out front praying and worshiping, confronting each person that comes out there to buy drugs. Serving eviction notices to the demons that have been living rent-free in God's kingdom. He goes, that was what he was convicted of. He goes, then I went to my first house yesterday, and within 5 minutes, the woman was weeping and allowed me to lay hands on her and led her in a simple prayer to invite God into her life. Things like this that we don't always see immediate fruit in front of us, but remember, Jesus is building his church. God does things in the hearts of his people and through their lives in their own context that we may never fully see, but God is still advancing his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Even if you don't see it, he's advancing. Or working or whatever. I thought you'd pick up on the song. Come on. You know? But yeah, it's always advancing. The kingdom of God doesn't decrease. It only increases. Hey! And even when it looks like a setback, everything is used for good. God always leads his people in triumph. Amen. Always. Always. So even when you go through trouble and hardship, it don't matter. God always is going to use it for your good and for his purpose and his plan. Amen. Another initiative that was launched, Pastors and Leaders Quarterly Prayer Breakfast, is being launched in the region with a whole bunch of leaders in a network in Massachusetts, southern New Hampshire. Pretty amazing. Right now, in planning is being launched a Body United Zimbabwe and Canada. Isn't that so cool? In 2026, these things are already happening. The nations that were watching and streaming in, and for you guys that operated the cameras, thank you. The world was watching. Thousands and thousands were watching online and hungry to see the body of Christ united across races and denominations. People are hungry for this. It's God's plan. That's why, right? And these initiatives are being launched in other areas to strengthen the church in other parts of the world. The prophetic intercessory networks that joined together all year leading up to it, not only were those networks strengthened, united in a greater way, but they're continuing in partnership for greater works in New England and beyond. The things that were started during it are continuing. That's amazing. Whole networks that were unconnected are now being connected and working together for a greater kingdom mission. That is good news. God is constructing a building, and this was part of helping move that ball forward. Amen. There's a new rhythm of the churches in New England gathering across streams. Pretty awesome. There is a Body United 2026 being planned in the works. Anyway, there's so many amazing things happening. God is raising an army and connecting his people with according to function and grace that we could labor together for the progress of the gospel. Amen? That's the deal. God has to bring his church into the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, that we would come to maturity, that we'd be his witnesses in the earth and partner with his plan to release heaven on earth. We have to be connected to do that. Amen? Anyway, so a lot of great fruit. All right, enough of that. You guys ready? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want to say this out the gate, and we begin to go there in worship, but you know, the greatest testament to the church, or what defines the fabric, the integrity, the strength, the grit of the church is directly hinged to the revelation of the greatness of God. What you truly believe about him matters to everything. What you truly believe, who that you say that the Lord is, matters. And I'm telling you, the church needs a fresh dose of the greatness of God, a vision of his power, of his supremacy, that he's the God that's high and lifted up. He's exalted, he's ruling and reigning, that Jesus literally does have all authority in heaven and on earth. And then he is building his church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against, that Jesus is literally administrating and leading in the earth, working all things according to the counsel of his will for an eternal purpose that he will bring to the end of the age and to completion. Jesus is the man. And he knows how to get the job done. He's altogether a wise. He alone is wise. And he has the power to execute on his plan perfectly every time, in every season, in every circumstance, in every generation, to the end of the age. Can the church say amen? Amen. And when we lose sight of the strength, the ability, the goodness, the wisdom of Jesus Christ, the church's vision gets dimmed. We get hard-hearted. We get limited to our vision of natural circumstances. We start being tossed to and fro by situations and the uproars of nations and economies and emotions. When the church has to come higher by keeping an exalted vision of Jesus Christ, a glorious vision of who our God is. Amen? So that in the midst of unstable times, the church would have stability and clarity, and be a bold witness. Amen? Where the knowledge of God and the fear of the Lord is stability in our times. We need a fresh vision of how great our God is. We do. It brings you right out of discouragement. It brings you right out of self-pity. It brings you right out of fear, right out of worry. What out of the realms of the what-ifs? It brings you into a sense of glory, capacity, joy unspeakable, full of glory. Even when you're suffering, even in your trials, even in your pain, guess what? There's still something greater that keeps you sane. It's the Lord Jesus who reigns. Can the church say amen? Amen. It's true, and we need to know it. In Romans chapter 15, Paul prays so powerful. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? God wants you and I to be filled with a living hope. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter that you have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Woo! Come on, that's amazing. That means God's hope, the hope you have in him, is a surety. It is a sure foundation that's meant to be alive on the inside of you, consistently testifying to you that what God said and who he is real and true, and God will do what he said he will do. Because God is faithful to his promise, and he's faithful to you. Thank you, Jesus. He wants you to have hope that's alive, not a distant, vain imagination that you can't stand on, that's fickle and subject to circumstances. Your inheritance in God, the reward in God, what Jesus purchased for you as a gift is secure. Can't be robbed. It's where moth cannot eat, cannot destroy. It's kept in heaven for you, and you who are kept safe and preserved by the power of God through faith. Do you understand? We're meant to live by the power of God. You're meant to live by the power of his Spirit, the power of grace that keeps you oiled in faith, in hope, in love, that you can walk with joy even in fiery trials. I know what it's like to weep and to mourn and to groan and to grieve and feel oppressed, but there's still hope, and a song can arise out of the ashes that says, great is your faithfulness, O God. You are good, and I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. My God is not a man that he should lie. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. Woo! His word does not change. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word remains the same. Santo. He's good. That's how you do it. I want to read a long passage of scripture with you, but I just wanted this to give. I have a lot of scripture for you. We'll see if time allows, because, you know, y'all know me. Sometimes I try to pack in too much in too short a time. But I want to read this to just give a context for some of the things that I'm going to say, so that you keep this in mind, that we have to remember that we receive the Spirit. Remember, listen, you cannot know God. You cannot access the things of God. You cannot serve God. You cannot do anything for God or in God outside of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? You can't even read the scriptures without the Holy Spirit. You can't understand his nature. You can't experience communion and fellowship without the Spirit. The Spirit is God with us. The Spirit is the Lord. The Spirit is the Lord. The Spirit is God with us, in us, given to us to walk with us, to empower us, comfort us, convict us, teach us, lead us into all truth. The eternal Spirit that's given to us is how we access the very throne of God now. Because, you know, heaven has been opened. Woo! You have access to the throne right now, not when you get holier. If you are in him and he is in you, it's open. You have access. You can eat, drink all you want. Amen. That's good news. But you know, in your trials, sometimes we forget that. You start letting your circumstances dictate your reality rather than the truth and the word of God define what is true. Truth and facts are not the same thing. The facts may say real dynamics about your circumstances, but that is not always the truth. And oh, how we need to know the truth, but we need to know that the Spirit gives us access to the throne and his presence and his word now, so that we can know how to navigate our present circumstances. We have to learn to live from heaven to earth. And heaven is a realm that you have access to now, because as a child of God, you are already in the Spirit. Christ transferred you out of the domain of the flesh, dominated by sin and the devil, and transferred you out of that governance and put you into a new kingdom of the Son he loves, that you might learn to live in the Spirit. You were in the Spirit. The Christian's journey is learning to now walk in the Spirit according to the truth, which outside of Christ and the sending of the Spirit, we, none of us, could do. We were slaves to the old, and in our best efforts, we still fell short. But by the working of God, he's given us something by his Spirit. Now we are in the Spirit and must learn how to access and lay hold of our inheritance in the Spirit, by the Spirit. That's why the Bible says, be continually filled with the Spirit. Make sure you keep in step with the Spirit, knowing what's pleasing to the Lord. The sons of God, the children of God, are those that are governed, ruled by the Spirit. You hear? You guys tracking with me so far? So I want us to hear that everything I'm going to say is in light of this. We need the Spirit, and we receive the Spirit and continue to walk in the Spirit. How? Shout it out at me. But how do you walk by the Spirit? By obeying God? Yeah. Anything else? Follow the commands, huh? Surrender's good. Submit's good. Those are all great words. You know, Israel tried to obey the commands, but apart from faith. If you try to obey God within your own strength, you, like Israel, will fall from grace, because you'll be trying to establish a righteousness of your own, forgetting that Christ himself was the end of the law. This is very important. This is the righteousness of faith. The scripture says that we receive the Spirit and continue to walk by the Spirit by faith. By faith in what Christ did. This is important. This is how you navigate your life in the mundane. We live by faith in the Son of God. We forget that we have been crucified with Christ, that we have died and we're alive to God. We have to learn how to live by faith in the Son of God that died for us and gave himself up for us. We learn to obey by the Spirit. We learn to put to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. There is a partnership with the Holy Ghost by remembering the finished work of the cross. And so I want to keep this in mind, because let's just read this. Too much talking. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read 1 through 14. This is important because, man, if you just meditated on this, it would encourage your soul and keep you fresh, no matter whether you're in a season, whether you're dying or whether you feel like, man, I'm on top of the world. Because listen, there's a time to die and there's a time to live. There's a time to be still and there's a time to run. There's a time and season for everything. Do you hear me? Paul said, hey, I carry about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life and resurrection of Jesus also might be operating in me. So there's seasons where you feel like you are dying and everything's shriveling up and there's no fruit on the vine. And then there's times where you feel like anything you touch is blowing up with goodness and successful. And there's other times where everything seems like a failure. But nonetheless, you're always led in victory. Nonetheless, God is always working and doing his good. Listen, he says this to the Galatian church. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning by means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by the believing of what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, curses everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. I just want us to keep that in mind. Because if we're to be continually filled by the Spirit, sometimes believers often feel like they just got to keep working to earn it. They just got to do all the right things in order to get it. I'm telling you, it is a bewitchment. It's a small leaven in the heart of mind because humans are religious. Humans are religious by nature, always wanting to justify themselves by what they can do or not do. They define themselves by their successes or their failures. It's a system that is broken and contrary and alien to the gift of Christ. The foolishness of the gospel is that we believe that, man, everything God gives me, all that is mine, not because of what I do, but because of what he did. There's a simple gospel that is real that we have to cling to that unlocks the power of God in your life. Remember, miracles, signs, wonders, power, comfort, healing, deliverance, provision, anything and everything you need is given by the Holy Spirit to you through the operation of your faith. But when I start trying to strive and work, I cut myself off from greater operations and fellowship with that same Spirit that only is amply supplied to me, continually in me abiding in him as I trust in the Son of God. It's really important to know this. So training and trials and times are refreshing. Listen, God wants us to understand him. He wants us to know his plans and his purposes. He wants us to seek him and walk humbly with him. You know, when we know his ways and what he's like, we can then participate in the process. We can know how to work with God in our circumstances when we understand what he's like, because we understand his nature. We understand his purpose. Make sense? You know, the scriptures say, like Micah 6:8 says, you know, God has shown you, O mortal man, what God requires of you: to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And no matter where you are, no matter what season you're in, what circumstances you're in, and us collectively, when we think about the season of time we're in, God has ordained these things for a unique purpose. You know, Acts 17 says that God has marked out our humanity's appointed times in history and their boundaries of their lands. God knows where you live and why you live there. God knows where you were born and why you were born there. It's not by accident. You know, you could have woke up, come out the womb, and you could have been a slave in Egypt. You could have woke up the day that Hitler took reign in Germany. But God appointed you to be alive in this time, in this day, for a unique purpose, for a unique reason. But God did this so that you would seek him and perhaps reach out to him or grope for him, as some translations say, and find him, though he's not far away from any one of us. That no matter what circumstances we find ourselves, God says, I want you to call out to me from that place. I want you to know me from that place. I want you to seek me from that place. No matter what you're doing, pray always. Give thanks always. No matter what you're going through, call out to me. Believe me. Trust in me, who will answer, who's faithful, who's good, because he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Amen. So no matter where you are in your life right now, or what you're going through, or whatever cards you've been dealt with in life, you just need to know that it was no mistake. God knows the womb you came from. God knows the family you were born in. God knows the circumstances by which you find yourself, and God seeks to meet you there. And for you to learn to call out upon him there, you're not a victim to those circumstances. You're not helpless in those circumstances. God has strategically placed you there that you might find him there. God, who is your ever-present help in your time of need. God is not far off. God's right now. He's near at hand. And in fact, if Christ lives in you, he's with you. He's in you. You're not an orphan. You've not been left alone. Hallelujah. Man, and oh, how we need to know the word of God and love the scriptures. So often we are fickle, tossed to and fro because we don't know his ways. We don't know his purposes, his plans. And so we keep striving and complaining and accusing God because we don't understand what he does and how he does it or why he does it. Sometimes we act like it's all a mystery when the word of God really lays out his patterns, his ways, his principles. And even when certain things are obscured from you, you can learn to trust in his nature and that he's working all things for your good. Amen. Listen, the scriptures say that things were written down for us to instruct us and train us in righteousness and equip us for every good work and whom the ends of the ages have fallen upon. And if we are wise, we'll take heed to the truths and soundness of scripture so that we don't repeat the errors of those in the past. We can hopefully look at our own past, look at church history, and hopefully we learn our lessons. That's part of, I think, what God is shouting us to, because, you know, we can wander in circles based on what we choose. You can wander in circles in a wilderness and die there if you fail to learn the lessons God's trying to teach you. God is committed to his purpose in your life, but it requires participation. It requires a humility to learn what he's like. This is important. The scriptures say that everything was written down in the past. It was written to teach us so that through the endurance, look at that. Man, that's why we have need of endurance. That through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement that they provide, we might have hope. Again, God wants you to be filled with hope, encouragement, joy, something tangible that is drawing you forward regardless whether you pass through the valley of weeping, whether you're sorrowing, crying, groaning, there's a hope that's greater and stronger pulling you forward, giving you tenacity and endurance, because if you shrink back, his soul has no pleasure in you. He loves you, but may not be pleased. That's why whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, it's to the Lord. We need to be living to please him. Remember, the same people that Jesus, that God the Father delivered out of Egypt, he also was not pleased with most of them, and most of them died in the wilderness because they did not learn the lessons. They did not come to trust God. This is a sober warning that the scriptures give us to instruct us, to invite us to not choose that way, but to be wise. And it goes on, it says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So important. Because when we start grumbling, complaining, lose hope, what do we start doing? Not only do we accuse and attack God, we accuse and attack each other. And God's priority is the unity of his people, the unity of the faith, that we'd walk in harmony with one heart and one mind for the glory of his name. This is so important. That's why we need a fresh dose of his greatness so that we can love as we have been loved. Show mercy as he shows mercy. I just want to encourage you today. I want to infuse you with hope and encouragement. There's something beautiful God is doing. We have to make sure that our eyes and our heart is in the right place. Truly. There is little leavens that can spoil a whole lump, little foxes that can ruin a whole vineyard. If you're not diligent to guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your tongue, guard the environment and atmospheres you possess internally and externally. This is important. God is doing amazing things. Let me say this. God will act on his own behalf for his own name and own purpose. God will not be mocked. God is God. God is building a name for himself. God has an inheritance in the nations. He loves his people. He loves his church. All things are working together for his good. Listen, God is not passive. God is not, will not abdicate his leadership. God did not fall asleep on you. God did not fall asleep on his purposes. God is not sitting on the toilet. God is like not preoccupied. That's a reference from when Elijah mocked the false gods of Baal. He's like, maybe Baal's sitting on the toilet. You guys remember that? Yeah. Yeah, we don't serve a false God who's deaf and mute and dumb. We serve a living God who speaks, who acts, who moves. This is good news. We need to expect and believe the God who answers at the sound of our voice, who moves with our faith, and who moves because he loves his people and he's committed to his plan. He watches diligently over the word in your life to bring it to pass. God who broods, God is a diligent. He has a deposit. He's the most vested business person there is. And he will profit from everything he's sown. He will get a return on his investment. And he is not negligent concerning your life, concerning your house, concerning his church, concerning this church. Oh, God will not be mocked. But listen to me. God can be silent for a time. And typically, as we have heard, and as we've been teaching and sharing, God can be silent or leave us in lack in order to test, in order to humble, and as a demonstration of wise leadership to advance God's own purpose. God does withhold his voice at times, but that's for a purpose. But here's the deal. God still will act. God will speak. God will arise. God will break in. God is even now, I'm telling you, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. He is renewing and wants to restore you, wants to revive you, save you, deliver you, provide for you. God has withheld for a time for a purpose, but friends, God will come with a shout. God will break the silence. God will act for his own namesake in your life. His own reputation is on it. Do you hear what I'm saying? Testing is but for a time to accomplish a purpose. It trains us. Testing is to train us. Difficulty is meant to train you. Hardships are meant to train you, to make you complete and ready for every good work, the scriptures say. God wants to make us complete, mature, stable, whole, settled in the knowledge of God, that we can actually be ready to partner with him in his mission on the earth. He's making us ready also for himself as a compatible bride. He's conforming us to the image of his son. He's making us partakers of his very holiness. This is crazy that we get to become like him. But here's the deal. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, which we've taught out of recently, that says, if we are trained by the discipline of the Lord, which comes and looks like difficulties in our life, aggravations, besetting things, setbacks, persecutions, lack. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Sometimes you make your own trouble because we just make bad choices. But nonetheless, God uses all that redemptively. Even things that were meant for evil are meant for your good if you trust him with it. If our eyes are in the right place, if our heart's in the right place. This is important. If, the scripture says, if we are trained by the discipline of the Lord, it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. But here's the deal. That big word, if, this is a loud call to the church right now for us, beloved. The eyes of the Lord are looking at our hearts, our lives. He is watching. If death and Hades are bare and naked before the Lord, how much more the hearts of men? As the scriptures say, we have a choice. We must learn and choose to submit to the training of the Lord. We have to choose to participate with his Spirit. We have to choose to learn the lessons. And wisdom, which is a choice, friends. Life and death is before every one of us every day. Do you hear me? This is really important. Because the people that cycle and wander and never grow up are those that fail to receive the life-giving rebukes and wisdom that's imparted through the rod of God. Do you understand? The loving rod of God imparts wisdom. That's why we must love discipline, love God's training, love his developmental process. That's why Hebrews 12 says, do not despise God's discipline. Don't despise it and don't lose heart. Remember God's intention. He loves you. He loves you. He's for you. He's committed to you and his purpose in your life. And in his silence, again, God, you know, many times it's really a judgment upon the people of God. All over the scripture, Psalm 50, Isaiah 57, it says, you didn't fear me because I withheld and didn't speak. You thought I was like you because I didn't act immediately. You acted this way, spoke this way, didn't demonstrate honor and reverence for me. You forgot what I've actually required of you, and you thought I was like you because I didn't bring swift action towards you. Silence and delay has a purpose of testing. What will you do? What will you choose? Will you honor me? Will you fear me? Will you lean into me? Will you humble yourselves and cry out to me? But we don't have to fear the trials or the warfare, the uncertainty of our time. We have to learn, I love what we sang, to learn to stand in awe of God, to rest assured in God's power. We have to acknowledge his might in this season. God's the God of the impossible, amen? Come on, we need to believe right now. I believe we're at this threshold. We're at a threshold that, man, this veil can be pierced. God wants to breathe fresh fire, fresh wind upon this house and pour out his spirit upon dry, wearied places. Listen, God wants to pour out rain and water upon your hearts. God will come. He's a God of covenant. He's a God who's faithful to his covenant, faithful to his promise. He will do what he said. We can rest in his heart that will act. God is good. Come on, God is good. The Bible says God will not break a bruised reed. God will not extinguish a flickering wick. God knows your weakness. He knows right where you are. The scripture says that he walks with the nursing moms. He walks with us in the valley, and he walks with us up the mountain. Jesus and the Father, he weeps with those that weep. And he also rejoices with those that rejoice. God is good. God is not trying to break you in an unhealthy, heartless way. He will break you of the self-will that's destroying your life. He will break you, God willing, of your pride that resists grace that God's trying to lavish on you. God wants to bless you and do good to you. He wants to make himself known in and through your life. This is important. God is our help, and he helps his people, especially those that take refuge in him. Those that actually choose to fear him and trust him and obey him and call upon him, God comes to their aid. You know, God comes where he's invited. God is Jehovah sneaky. He may just surprise you with kindness and goodness, which he does. Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God loves even the wicked. But the wicked will eat the fruit of their own decisions. God favors his people. God favors his people that trust in him. Are you with me? So when you call upon him, you better believe he's going to come. He will run to you. And even if it's delayed, he says, will you wait in faith? Will you trust that I'm going to come? I'm a good father. If you ask for bread, do you think I'm going to give you a stone? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, do you think I'm going to withhold from you? God wants to give you a spirit. Christ was crucified to give you the spirit. Oh, woo! God wants to refresh his people, a wearied inheritance, with goodness and mercy. God delights in showing mercy. He delights in showing mercy. Oh, it's his good pleasure to show mercy. For time's sake, I can't read all these scriptures. But over and over, I just want to encourage you could take these and eat them by yourself or in your life groups or whatnot. Psalm 68, 1 through 10 is so rich of God's heart to arise on behalf of his people and scatter enemies. But it reveals his heart as a loving father. But it says that God pours down rain and gives abundant showers to refresh his weary inheritance. God, right now, I'm telling you, even today, wants to refresh your weary soul by pouring out his spirit. Do you know you can be exhausted in one moment? In his presence, one touch of his spirit can enliven you, raise you from the dead in a moment. Seriously, body, soul, and spirit replenish you physically, emotionally, spiritually. One touch of that beautiful kiss of his presence, the sweetness of Jesus, the easy yoke, the better way. God will pour out his spirit on your flesh. He is a good shepherd that refreshes and restores your soul. Today, God wants to restore your soul even. There's a sweet exchange that God's inviting us into, friends. Psalm 66 talks about how God refines silver and the hearts of men, and that he lets people run over our heads. He lets people run all over you where you feel smashed, cut, broken, restricted on every side. But you know what it says right afterwards? He brings you into a spacious place, into a place of abundance. And we're at that threshold. We are passing through a gate right now. We are at a gateway, a doorway. And you don't want to miss the gateway and doorway before it's shut. You know, Jesus tells parables about those that arise too late in their familiarity and casualness, drunken down by the spirit of age, not keeping their lamps filled. And by the time they get up to come, it's too late. The door is shut. And they're like, let me in. You missed it. Go wander around the wilderness another 40 years. You missed a window of opportunity. That is real, friends, in the spirit. Certain things do not need to be prolonged. God is committed for his church to get it, but friends, he won't force you. We can miss divine opportunities. But I tell you, God is bringing us and will bring us through this season into a spacious place. As Hebrews 3 and 4 says, the promise of rest remains. The promise remains for you to enter his rest. And it says, those that have trusted him or have believed in him have entered that rest. We're in a season of rest. And the things that hinder us and rob us from rest are typically internal things. It's the gift of repentance that allows us to experience refreshing from his presence. The gift of hunger and humility. But then he does something deep in our lives. God wants to bring us into a beautiful place because he delights in you. Friends, we are going to see and experience a glorious deliverance of God. We're going to see the salvation of God. It will manifest among us. Not as an intellectual, stoic thing. There will be a tangible, powerful experience of God's presence that overruns your life, your emotions, your understanding, your health. We will taste and see and rejoice in our God. He will renew us in hope. He is renewing us in hope. The Spirit has come. The Spirit has been poured out then, and it's continually being poured out to replenish, to refresh. The Spirit has come to live in us and rest upon us to live a supernatural life. And as I said in the beginning, friends, we can drink of this Spirit, this inexhaustible well of life, anytime and in any season, in any trial, and walk in that joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Some of you need to learn to laugh over the heads of your enemy. You know, the scripture says, even in the presence of your enemy, there's a banqueting table. The issue is, will you perceive it? Here's the issue. We can stay blind and perish under our oppressors in the warfare, or we can come higher in faith and perceive the provision of God in the context of the problems and find rest and laugh over the heads of our enemy and exalt our God who reigns. This is the promise, Old Testament and New Testament. You do not have to fear, beloved. God wants to bring you into rest. There is a power of internal renewal by the Holy Spirit through your faith that God wants to release for those that will wait upon him. Look to him. Those that wait upon the Lord, he renews their strength. They mount up on the wings like eagles. They can run and not grow weary, walk and not grow faint. This is for you, beloved. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, man, we don't lose heart. Paul's talking about all kinds of trials, hardships, hard pressing, struck down, pressed, persecuted. And he says, you know what? It don't matter. We don't lose heart. We don't lose hope. Though outwardly we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. There is a renewal for you today. There's a renewal for you in this season that God's inviting you into. I understand warfare, hardship, oppression. I get it. But there's a place that's higher in Him. There's a hidden place in the shadow of His wings. There's a secret place in the Almighty. There's a banqueting table. In His presence is fullness of joy. There's a river that's always flowing from His throne that you can learn to truly partake of by faith in fellowship with the Holy Spirit that gives you life. Where that even in the hardship, because listen, the temptation otherwise is to grumble, complain, and perish. And I'll tell you, complaining will keep you out of promise all day. Complaining will keep you out, not even because God's withholding from you, because you're shutting your perceptions off from the provision that's right there. God is great. God is able. Whose report will you believe? You choose what you think on, what you meditate upon. Are you hearing me? We are in a doorway, a gateway of opportunity right now where we must respond rightly to God. We don't want to wait till those opportunities are missed. That's why the scripture says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the days of the rebellion. You know, stubbornness is idolatry. When we are unwilling to let go of our offenses, our hurts, our frustrations, it's idolatry. When we rebel against God, His word, His plan, His blueprint, it literally is witchcraft. Woo! We need to break these things. This is part of the sober warning. There's a tension. Man, there's an invitation. But there is a warning that we also don't stumble in a wilderness and fail to cross over when right now we are at the ability to cross over. We must seek the Lord while He may be found. I don't have time to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 13, but I do. I'm telling you, I want to assign that to you. It is a sober warning. An invitation, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 through 13. It is very powerful and instructive to us. There are things and promises that can only be acquired in this age by our participation. You know, promises, every promise in Christ is yes and amen. Every promise is yes and amen. We learn to access and walk in and apprehend those things only through faith and patience. But without those faith and patience, without proper response, the result of our life becomes the result. We have to learn to rule our own spirit. You know, the scripture says a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. You hear that? That's Proverbs 25, 28. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. We have to control our hearts, our tongues, our minds to face fear and the future and the circumstances with joy and faith. We do not want to be like the rest of the Israelite leaders that saw the giants in the promised land and came with a negative report and defiled the whole generation. We want to be like Joshua and Caleb that saw the giants. They didn't deny the giants. They saw the difficulties, they saw the enormity of the task, but they did not shrink back in unbelief. There was not an evil heart of unbelief. They believed in the promise and word of God that if God said they are yours, they are yours. We want to be of those that believe to the saving of souls and to the acquiring of promise. God wants us to come higher in faith, in hope, in love, and enter into His victory, beloved. This is so important. As I bring this to a close, we got to understand that there is a sound of abundant rain. We got to hear it. There is a cloud the size of a man's hand. We have to see it in the spirit. God is moving and on the move. We have to understand what narrative will we believe? What voice will we believe? Where will our vision be? We must fix our eyes upon Jesus. And continue to prepare ourselves, our house. Continue to pursue the unity of the Spirit among us. guarding ourselves and each other from the defilements that would spoil the vine and undermine our faith and the good hope of what God wants to do. Listen, this is so important. As I said earlier, little bits of leaven can ruin a whole lump. Bitterness, roots of bitterness in your heart can defile many and cause trouble. You are a guardian of not only your own heart, but the community. All of us must be watchful to not give room to the narratives that undermine God's plan and purpose. Yes, we will grow. Yes, we will work through our stuff. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. But man, we must continue to love, pursue peace. We are in days of the latter rain. We have to continue to cry out to God for the rain. God's going to send fire to burn the chaff that hinder, that quench the spirit, that hinder the spirit. God is going to remove the things that stop us from moving forward in a greater way. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Patriot. I'll close with this image. I was going to show a clip this morning, but I said, a little too intense probably for everyone maybe in the room. So I said, I won't do it. It is good, but you know, I think it was the right choice not to show it. I reviewed it this morning and said, nah. Too many bayonets. But it's at this final battle of these militia fighting against Britain. Epic movie, epic war. This is the final battle. And the Continental Army basically is starting to break ranks. They're starting to press forward to the banks, take ground, but everyone starts losing heart. The redcoats just start smashing them. People get discouraged. The warfare is great, and it wears people down in their morale, in their fight, in their heart, and they begin to shrink back out of fear that they can't win, that they can't prevail. And they start running. They start breaking the ranks, breaking the lines, breaking formation, and retreating. You know, it's like the scriptures say that Ephraim came to robed, arrayed in war and bow, but they showed up on the day of battle. But they forgot their God and turned away. They despised the promise because they were afraid of the fight. And the people all began to run the opposite direction. And one of the faithful Calebs sends the Benjamin, one of the leaders, to Mel Gibson. The line is breaking. And so he grabs the American flag. The guy's running the opposite direction with the flag. And Mel Gibson grabs the flag out of his way and starts running the opposite direction against the status quo, running against everyone else who's retreating, yelling, "Hold the line! Hold the line! Push forward! Push forward!" And all these people that were confused and trapped and dazed by their fear and overwhelm and exhaustion, they're running the other way. They begin to see one person's faith, one person's courage to continue to believe in the vision, to believe in the cause, believe in the purpose. And they begin to turn and begin to fight and press forward. And as they begin to press forward, the tides turn. They win the battle, and then suddenly the French come from the seas and boom, they win the war. And we're at such a time. You know, it's always right before the breakthrough that the battle is the hardest. Do you know it's right when everyone wants to give up that's right when they need to endure and persevere? It's right there. And the temptation is to give up in the wrong way. I'm not talking about surrender to God. You need endurance. You need hope. You need a vision of Jesus and his purpose and his people and what he wants for his people, that you could labor with endurance and press on to the high call of God in Christ Jesus, to press forward. It only takes but a few to believe. And I want to say to you, whose report will you believe? What narrative will you hold on to? It's so important. What you were thinking, what you were believing, what you were saying, what you were doing, what you're talking about amongst yourselves. Little bits of leaven defile many, friends.
You don't think there's warfare over what God wants to do here? Don't be ignorant to the devil's schemes, the Bible says. Don't be ignorant. Don't let the enemy take advantage of weakness and struggle and purging. We're being still refined and consecrated and sanctified. Yeah. But in the midst of that, we cover each other in love. We bind together with unity of heart for the sake of Jesus. His purpose, his name, his glory. And we continue to charge ahead, believing that God will do what he said. Giants will fall. Walls will come down. I'm telling you, praise. Continue to praise. Believe that you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I'm telling you, I was even in here Friday night just praying. Me and Dave Bates just took some time to pray. I'm telling you, I sensed the glory of God in the room and saw people undone and the goodness of God weeping, touched with his love, his kindness. God is going to refresh you, renew you, heal you. Abundant rain is falling and will fall as you choose to believe. Throw off unbelief. Believe in the Lord. Respond to him. Amen. Let's stand and respond. God wants to refresh us. Listen, there's a reality of faith. And like I said in the very beginning in Galatians, we receive the Spirit not by working hard. We don't receive more of God or be filled anew by working hard. You believe. You believe. You enter into the rest that comes by faith in what he has done. That he will do it. And that we have victory right now. You know, sometimes when you're just being so stuffed down by struggle, trial, you just forget to come up higher and laugh. Some of you just need to laugh. For real. Like, for real, for real. Like, laugh over the heads of your enemy. Sometimes you have to make yourself laugh until it becomes very real in your spirit. And you access the joy that's unspeakable. Full of glory. Full of the glory that's a joy rooted in God's nature and eternal purpose that does not change. A joy that is about confidence and assurance of victory. He sits in the heavens and he laughs. Some of you that are like, man, I don't know what to do about my marriage. You need to laugh. Some of you are so worried about your struggles of your own heart, you need to laugh. Yeah, you can weep, mourn, repent, wail, and then laugh. Turn from your sin, but then laugh. When the enemy wants to accuse you, sit down with the Lord and be like, he's justified me. He paid for my sin. Nothing is hidden. I've confessed my sins to the Lord. He knows all things. You can accuse me, but I'm just going to laugh because God's promise and God's vindication, God's advocacy over my life, I'm clean. I'm free. I'm blameless in his sight. Ha! 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 I'm serious. Really, do you know that you have the power to shift your own state? Some of you are oppressed, and it's your fault. You sold yourself into oppression. You just need to learn to take it off. Anyway, I want to respond to God, but we just need to respond. But let's just acknowledge the victory of the Lord and let a fresh wind blow through this place. God is looking at your hearts today. He wants to strengthen you. Pour out his Spirit on you. Water your soul, your mind. He is for you and not against you. He will break through. In fact, he's breaking through. He always shows up on time, beloved. You can trust that. Lord, we trust you today. We love you today. And I ask, oh God, for the faith of God to arise in your people, that unbelief would be broken, fear would be broken, that we would laugh in the face of fear, laugh in the face of the future, laugh over the heads of our enemies. In the humility that Christ reigns, and because he reigns, we reign with him. Come on, just worship your God for a moment. Worship him. This is something you get by the Spirit as you believe in him. Oh, may you abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit today. Let hope wash over your people. Let the love of God be poured out in the hearts today by the Holy Spirit. Wash over your people. Let the goodness of God chase them down today. Cause cups to overflow today. Come on, present your cup to the Lord. The cup of your heart, of your life. May it overflow. Today, may fresh oil be poured out upon your head. May fresh fire be poured out upon you today. May you know the goodness and the love of God. May it overcome every hardened place. May the kindness of Jesus renew you today. Come on, just worship your God. Thank him. Oh, even today, God, enlarge the vision of your people. Pull them up to see. Pull them up to believe in the Lord. To set their hearts at rest in your presence. Fresh wind. Release fresh fire. Let the rest of God settle upon your people as they trust in you. Come on, if I can just even have the prayer team come up and be available. Life group leaders, elders and deacons. Just want to be available to pray with people, but let's just pour out our heart before him. Trust God for a fresh touch of his goodness. God, we thank you for the pouring out of your Spirit today on Pentecost Sunday. Pour out your Spirit afresh. Rain down upon us, oh God. Rains of refreshing. Rains of abundance, renewing, rejuvenating, reviving, restoring, lifting up out of the pit, strengthening the feeble knees, strengthening the weak hands, comforting the hearts filled with trepidation, peace upon the mind. Breathe. Breathe upon your people. We lift up our eyes to the Lord.